laid back.
With my mind on my money.
What's up, Degenerate Nation? Stucky here with Colin Wilson. As always, welcome to Degen and Juice, episode 7. This is week 7, part 1. What's going on your end, Colin?
Got a Bears cover tonight. Got a Star Wars trailer in, so I'm a pretty happy math nerd.
How did that Bears game end? I've been out tonight. I saw that it was 3-2 for a while and 17-all.
Yeah, there's a field goal at the end that kind of sealed it up. But, you know, Trubisky played great tonight. And, you know, Howard didn't get it going until the very end, finally got some yards. And, you know, they didn't specify whether Bradford was actually hurt or if he just sucked and they wanted to bring in Case Keenum. But at one point, Case Keenum was, you know, under center. So I think it's something to look for whether, you know, Bradford's actually hurt or if they just wanted to make, if Zimmer just wanted to make the change. But
yeah, I saw that when they made that change and Bradford simply, he just couldn't move around. His leg was hurt. I think he was 5-11 at the time when they brought in Keenum.
That was the biggest scare of the game, really, was I laid the Bears 3.5. I laid it 4. And the big scare was that the Vikings could come over the top of the defense if they could keep a quarterback up. So I'm glad I was on the right side tonight.
Well, one thing you probably weren't glad, or maybe you were, to watch this weekend was your Hogs. So, what are your thoughts from that? What do you take away from that game?
I'll keep it short and sweet. They're extremely beat up, and Bielema is throwing the offensive line under the bus. He's blaming the talent level when he's the one that recruited these guys. And Bama's extremely pissed off now. They let A&M get back into that game, and Saban is spitting venom onto the media. And I can't imagine a world that Bama doesn't throw 30 on Arkansas by maybe the end of the first quarter, maybe by the end of the first half. I'm not being contrarian here. I'm saying talent-wise, coaching-wise, this is going to be one of the ugliest weekends in Razor since USC beat us 70-17 when Bush ran for, I think, 500 yards. It's going to be one of those kinds of days.
So it's going to be a bloodbath. That's what you're calling for.
Bad. Very bad.
Okay, we'll keep an eye on that. On my Ravens, I always mentioned them being the top. They got so lucky. They went out to Oakland. They didn't have to face Carr, face E.D. Emanuel, got a win out there. They're still in a lot of trouble. MLB playoffs going on. They've been some pretty good games, and it looks like we're going 5 with New York Cleveland, so that should be pretty exciting. From a college football, we'll get into the top 25 later. But one thing that I did want to mention is the Big 12. So if the Big 12, their playoff hopes are pretty much just down to TCU. Is that it?
Well, does a one-loss team, can a one-loss team win this conference and still make the playoffs? So, I mean, what we're looking at now, you look at each and one of the individual conferences and, you know, Clemson's unblemished, Alabama's unblemished. And I kind of tweeted out today that Clemson has a get out of jail free card. Similar to last year, they can drop one, which NC State's looking like, you know, the game they can drop, assuming NC State doesn't win out. But, you know, even Alabama can drop one. They won't. They could drop one and still beat Auburn in like a round of 32 and win the SEC championship game in like a quarterfinal game. So I think a one-loss team can make it. Now, it all depends. If Washington stays undefeated, we need 2 more weeks. We need 2 more weeks to see if the Big 12's out.
Yeah, but this loss is – It's not just a one-loss Big 12 team, right? So it's not like Oklahoma loses to Oklahoma State or TCU. I mean, that was a bad loss to Iowa State and their backup quarterback at home off of bye.
Yeah, but what does this selection committee think if OU goes into Arlington and blows the number 2 seed out by 50 the day before they make the vote? Do they overlook that Iowa State loss? This committee's brand new. We got a new chairman of the committee. There's new committee members on it. So I really don't know what to expect. I got to wait till I see the first ranking.
Yeah. I mean, as long as Bama and Clemson look like they're not slowing down and, you know, like you said, if Washington Ohio State keeps winning out, I think they're going to be taking over any Big 12 team. Although if TCU can run the table, it'll be an interesting case. So that was certainly one of the big upsets of the week again.
and this is going to keep coming up in more of our podcasts, but what if UCF goes undefeated and blows everybody out by 60, even with just only playing three quarters of a game?
Yeah, which they continue to do this weekend, and we'll get into that. So a quick weekend recap. It was the first time our CW9 and the six-pack got kind of crushed. I had a decent weekend overall, but those are going to happen with those. I think the six-pack went 2-4, 1-5, depending on what number you got, although Charleston Southern, most of you should have covered that. What a prayer cover. I think they were down 24-0 at the half, and then there was only 3 points scored in the second half. Very odd game. Favorites overall went 29-25-3. On Saturday, unders went 31-26, and we had a plethora of double-digit money line outright winners. You have Iowa State, which we mentioned, Southern Miss, Michigan State over Michigan, Bowling Green, and Central Michigan, all won as double-digit underdogs. So let's get into some of our calls. Did you want to mention something on those?
Yeah, I did, because all of those had really misleading box scores. So first off, I had Michigan in the CW9, and you know, it was a terrible week of, like, you know, Miami winning at the last second. But as far as those double digit dogs, like, I had Michigan, they had five, even though they outgained Sparty, they had 5 turnovers to 0 in that game. It's ridiculous. Central Michigan had a 4-1 turnover edge, even though they were outgained by Ohio. Our beloved Meet Meep UTSA outgained Southern Miss and lost that game in Miami of Ohio. Outgained Bowling Green and was down 2-1 in turnovers. Their late fumble ended it for Miami of Ohio, and Ragland's hurt now. They're all world quarterback, so that's bad. And then Iowa State was outgained by OU, but they led 1-0 in turnovers. And that Lanning kid, my God, recovers. He was just all world quarterback, playing quarterback, throwing passes, playing linebacker, recovering fumbles. It was an amazing game.
Yeah, unbelievable old school throwback game from him. So what are you doing with Michigan State and Michigan after that game from a power rating perspective?
From a power rating perspective, I definitely took Michigan down, but I only took them down, I think, about a half point. And that's because it's their fault that they lost the game. I mean, they outgained Michigan State like they were supposed to, but 5 turnovers. I mean, O'Korn was just trying to get too fancy. The play calling was pretty bad. The defense, you know, the defense held them to 252 yards, held Michigan State 252 yards. And, you know, that's not a bad performance by any means. So I don't give them a huge knockoff in their PR, but I look at this Indiana game this weekend. We'll talk about it more in our next podcast, but they've got to overlook to Penn State. I think they're going to lose again to Indiana. So,
wow. Okay. That'll be quite the drop off from Michigan from, you know, going into last week to then 2 straight losses to Michigan State and Indiana, which I can see. So let's get into some of our calls from this weekend. What was your best call of the weekend?
There's only two of them that I could get off, and that was Ohio State and the Cincinnati Bengals. I'll go with the Bengals and just say, from a unit matchup standpoint and then catching Buffalo, and I know we try to focus on college football, but sometimes – the public perception of NFL teams, when they end up beating teams like Denver and they end up beating Atlanta straight up, the public will absolutely fall in love with them. And the numbers and the metrics, the advanced stats, just didn't line up with Buffalo. I know Tyrod Taylor takes a lot of sacks, and that's why it looks like his offensive line does a bad job, because he takes too many chances. And that's why, you know, they rank almost last in tackles for loss and sacks go. But, you know, Cincinnati's playing lights out, and I'm just glad that there was that field goal there at the end to make it from a 1-point game to a 4-point game, so everybody got the cover there. So I'm going to roll with the Bengals as my best call of the week.
Yeah, and you alluded to it. I'm going to go with Ohio State for what they did to Maryland. I think they just scored again. That offense is really coming around, and that cover was really never in doubt. Worst call of the weekend for me might be yours as well. San Diego State, UNLV. Ugh, I didn't get to watch that game. I had a wedding this weekend. What can you tell me what happened with that game?
Yeah, I watched every second of that game, and I even had two runners in Vegas going to certain establishments and laying even more money down. So it was one of the more painful nights that I've had. But what happened was, you know, Rocky Long came out and played a 4-2-5 defense, and that's something that Armani Rogers, you know, a redshirt freshman, he's never seen that before. He's never seen a 4-2-5 defense. So he saw every guy in the secondary covered, And every time he tried to take off running, there was you know, five or six defenders in his face. So they never, you know, and I hate to call.
And they just couldn't adjust.
They could never adjust, but that's their coach. Their coach is the Bishop Borman coach. He's only been coaching college a couple of years now, and he doesn't know how to adjust at halftime when he's facing a 4-2-5 defense. Same thing happened last year. San Diego State blew him out, and I just, you know, just constantly Armani Rogers didn't know what to do with that 4-2-5.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, that looks like it was never in doubt. So, yeah, back to the drawing board with the Rebs. Favorite game of the weekend?
I'm going to go with the 7 overtime game between Western Michigan and Buffalo, which
epic.
When it got to the 3rd overtime, I thought, oh shit, they're going to break some Arkansas records here, because we hold a couple 6 overtimes and 7 overtime, and
Arkansas all missed, right? That went to 7.
Yeah, that went to 6. The Tennessee went to 7.
Okay.
Yeah, the Eli Manning one was the 6, but so Western Michigan and Buffalo went to 7 overtimes, and you know, my takeaway from that was I've got Buffalo season win totals under 3.5, and these guys are just outperforming week after week. And, you know, that was, you know, that's one of my, all my other, I kind of summed them all up on Twitter this morning. All my other futures for team totals are doing great, but this Buffalo one was a whiff, because they're already at 3 wins and they're taking WMU to 7 overtimes. Something to look ahead for. 7 overtimes, team coming off that playing the next week. Western Michigan's playing Akron. Buffalo's playing Northern Illinois. I would not side with a team that just got off of a 7 overtime win or loss.
Yep, fair point. We'll keep an eye on what those lines are. I would say mine was Syracuse Pitt. So I was starting off the day 0-2, and I had Pitt, and they were going back and forth flirting with the cover. They lost. Max Brown went down. He was in a sling. I think he's probably going to be out. But Cuse was up 3. I'm catching 3.5 late. One of the funniest plays is Cuse was trying to run the clock out, but they had about a 40-yard gain on this play around, I think it was actually a 25-yard gain. And there was a penalty on Pitt was offsides, so they had a free play. So Dungy just threw the ball down the field, and Pitt picked it. And then Pitt, on the return, had a clip, and then they were holding. So there was 3 penalties on Pitt. At the end of the play, a Syracuse player came over and just decked somebody after the play. It was a personal foul. All of them offset the one Cuse penalty after the play. So, but the best part about that is it took like 25 seconds off the clock for all this to happen. Cuse ended up getting down to about the 5-yard line, up 3 on 4th and 1. And I'm like, oh my God, please go for it. They call a timeout. There's like a minute to go, and they decide to go for it. I guess, you know, they didn't want to kick it to what's his face on Pitt is a really good returner, and they figured they can get the yard. They try a shovel pass. It was incomplete. It was a beautiful thing. Then Pitt got the ball at the 5, avoided the defensive turnover, and indoor holding in the end zone for devastating safety, and they got the cover. So it's always a sigh of relief when you're sitting there 0-2 and that third game's in the balance, and you're the difference between starting 0-3 and 1-2, you just kind of breathe out a sigh of relief. So that was probably my favorite game of the weekend from a betting perspective.
Did you have an open bar, or was it a cash bar at the wedding?
I was open bar.
Lucky. So, yeah, lucky.
We got it in, and there was like this Eastern European bartender that we kept going to, and he was just turning the bottle over like upside down and just dumping it in. And you know, when I first went up there, I gave him a 20, and he was like just dumping. Yeah, they didn't have a Hendrick, which was unfortunate, but you know, so I went with vodka, and they were he was just dumping it in for us. So there was, you know, no reservations on the pour, which was nice. So yeah, we definitely got it in. Got a little messy.
Good.
So, yeah, that was my favorite game of the weekend. Bet regret, I'll say for this, USC, you know, it's not that they came out flat again, but I think you even mentioned this to me last week, is that the play was probably first half, and the game was going to, you know, come to a screeching halt. And I wish, regardless of result, I wish I just would have played that first half. And you know, they were just, the whole second half was pretty flat. I obviously wouldn't have bet UNLV, but any bet regret from you?
Yeah, mine was going to be Stanford. I had Stanford in the CW9 because I think I
nailed that game, right? Didn't I say that they're going to cover the win, but maybe not cover? I ended up taking it when I got to
third. Yeah. They won by three, and the number, and I mean, I wrote it in the CW9 at four, and it the line went to three, and so if you got three, it was a push. But this back is
door
this,
late, right? Last minute touchdown.
Yep. Backdoor, and you know, this is just one of those games where it's like I wrote in the CW9 the Troy Williams is coming in at quarterback. He's a senior captain, but he wasn't the starter. And the reason is because he's not mobile at all. And Utah's new offensive scheme required a mobile quarterback. Well, Whittingham, they knew this, and they completely changed their play calling so that he became more of a pocket passer, and they didn't have any, you know, quarterback run calls. It's exactly what happened. And Utah has one of the best rushing defenses in the nation. And you know, they were able to backdoor cover and lose exactly by three. And I had a feeling when that number hit three the day of the game, I was like, this shit, I know this is a push. It's got three written all over it. So,
yeah, I mean, it's always frustrating when you're up 10 and you're laying three or four and the other team has the ball with minutes to go. And, you know, you're playing, they only scored 13 points the whole rest of the game. And, you know, it felt like they were destined to get in the back door. Three things learned from this weekend. I'll start. Georgia, I bet Vanderbilt thinking that Georgia was going to be flat. It didn't matter if Georgia was flat or not, because all they had to do was line up and run power left, power right. I don't know what the final stats were from a yards per carry, but I know at one point they were running, I think it was like 9 yards per carry or something good.
Yeah, I wrote it down. It was 7.8 yards per rush.
Jesus. Yeah, they ran for 423 yards rushing, and they just absolutely demoralized Vanderbilt. They're legit, Georgia. And, you know, Wisconsin, I keep learning that Wisconsin is just going to cruise. I mean, they're taking care of business when they need to against teams that they should be. And they just have such an easy route to that that conference championship. And the last thing is that it looks like, no, I think I'm officially changing my tune on the Pac-12, that Washington might be the team to beat in that conference. They looked really strong again against Colorado, granted, but really impressed with what I'm seeing with Washington. And, you know, they're actually going out and really burying teams, like, unlike USC has been doing all year. Any comments on those, or what three things you learned from this past weekend?
I'm going to get into my three, but first my comments on the Pac-12. You know, I took Stanford to win the North, like, 3.5 to 1 odds. And if Stanford can survive Oregon this weekend, which they shouldn't lose to a true freshman quarterback. But I mean, it's really setting up for Washington to come to Stanford to make that the showdown, to see who's going to go on and face USC in the Pac-12 championship. But I'm glad to hear that that you or anybody else that I consider sharp is not buying into this Washington State stuff, because I mean, they still got four road games in their final six. And they have a really, really tough schedule. And, you know, they took advantage of an Oregon team that was on their third string true freshman quarterback that had, you know, had a couple INTs, and they just didn't, you know, they sacked Falk enough and gave him pressure, but there's only so much you can do when your offense keeps, you know, consistently doing three and out. So
was this another game where Oregon doesn't score in the second half?
Yeah.
Second halves are so odd.
Why are we not retired on Oregon and Arkansas fading second halves? I can't understand. So
yeah, another second half, because I think they were tied at the half. Wasn't it 10-all at the half?
Yeah, it was really close. I mean, it reminded me of you know, losing last second to Miami. It was just terrible. God, some of these games went the wrong way. My three things. I'm going to be short on this because we talk about it enough. Arkansas's talent. I'm not talking about coaching. I'm not going to bag on Bielema. I'm not going to bag on a lot of stuff. The talent, I was looking at their player grades today, and the offensive line player grades and the overall skill position at wide receiver and some of the places on defense, especially in the secondary, we're talking 2012 John L. Smith talent bad. Like, the talent on the roster is bad. So the point that I'm trying to make is there's always a point in the season when Bielema has been coaching around mid-October, late October, where he goes on a 4-5 game dog winning streak. I don't think that can happen this year. I don't think it's going to happen against LSU. I don't think it's going to happen against Ole Miss, and I don't think it's going to happen against Mississippi State. So I could be wrong, could be proven wrong. I mean, Austin Allen's in a sling, and he might not play this weekend. Maybe I'll be wrong, but the talent's not there. Two,
Hold on, let me circle back on one for you real quick. So, Hogs are sitting there 2-3, and their schedule the rest of the way is at Bama, home against Auburn, at Ole Miss, home against Coastal, at LSU, and they close out the year two home games against Miss State and Missouri. What's their final record? There's seven games left. How many do they win?
At best, five. I'll say four. 4-8.
Wow.
Give me the Coastal, and maybe we get lucky against Missouri. I there's nothing to play for at that point, though.
Wow, it's going to get ugly down in Fayetteville. Okay. I digress. Back to number two for you.
Yeah, number two for me is UCF. They only played three quarters, and they're still putting up silly, silly numbers. But I started going into some of the, you know, inside some of this just to see if it was really the talent that was, you know, or the teams that they were playing that were kind of making them look so good. So their offensive numbers are silly. They're not allowing any sacks on the offensive line. Their havoc rate on defense is like tops in the nation. They're number two in the turnover margin. They're really protecting the ball, and they're getting to loose balls. The one thing I can find about UCF right now, they're the most penalized team in all of FBS. So if Scott Frost can get that under control, I mean, they're ringing up perfect box scores. And I really think – I was looking all day. I started writing an article about, possible – what the my top 25 power ratings are, what the futures are currently listed at, and what I think the playoff path is for some of these teams. And I couldn't find a future on UCF winning the national title, which I really wouldn't mind throwing a Thanksgiving dinner on right now just for fun, because that South Florida game is going to be wild. That's going to be the game to see if one of them gets into the playoff, you know, supposedly if we have the Big 12 or some other conferences fall.
That's basically a team, you know, team chaos future. So, yeah, that's something to keep an eye on. Maybe one pops up, and I'll keep my eye for that as well. And number three?
Number three, I'm going to go dirty. I'm going to go Sun Belt. App State has struggled. I say struggled. I mean, the final score doesn't look like it, but they did struggle in the fourth quarter and had to have fourth quarter comebacks against Texas State and New Mexico State the past 2 weeks. The only thing that's in their path is ULM. La Monroe, they hovered around Memphis and they hovered around Southern Miss and they covered. And they've beaten Coastal and they've beaten Texas State and they've beaten ULL. ULM is the one trap game on App State's schedule. So that's coming up in a couple weeks. The App State futures, if everybody out there followed me, I think I took them plus 200 to win the Sun Belt. The ULM game is circled because those guys are actually playing some pretty legit defense, and that could cause Yosef some trouble. So that's my three.
Fair enough. All right, let's get into the second segment here, which is the top 25 rundown. We'll go through some of the games that we didn't cover already from this past Saturday and look at some of the most marquee matchups. Start with Bama, Texas A&M. Interesting thing here, obviously I was on A&M, who did get – in they cover, I think, pretty easily, but it looked like it could have gotten out of hand at one point. I think it was 23-3 Bama. Yep. And ended 27-19. Hurts didn't do anything against not a strong secondary in Texas A&M. Was Bama just flat here after two dominant performances? Is that all this is it, or is there anything else to take from this game?
I think that's all there was, because Brian Dabble went vanilla with the play calling. A&M was getting back into it, and there's a really interesting dynamic going on at Texas A&M right now where the boosters and the program doesn't want a one-loss coach there, and the coach there doesn't want to be there. So it's a really interesting situation at Texas A&M. But, yeah, they got back in because Bama went vanilla, and Texas A&M's motivated to – at least the coach is motivated to put up a middle finger to the board of directors there.
Yeah, so, I didn't take much from that either. I mean, Bama was due for one of those stinkers. A game that they still won, it moved on. As you said, it's probably worse for Arkansas after, Saban kind of probably loves these types of games where he can refocus the troops for the next week and come out and just bloody somebody. So good luck to your Hogs this weekend. Then you had Clemson. Tell you a funny story. Team Low, my system, by the way, is still 100% because I've been playing Wake. I was sitting there at 11:50, and I was so close to playing Wake, so close. So then I sit there for 3 hours, and I am smiling, cheersing myself. I am saying, thank God I didn't take Wake. They go down 28-0. Live line is 31. And of fucking course, Wake Forest backdoors. Of fucking course, Wake Forest, even if you got a bad number of 21, scores on 4th and 11 at the end of the game to lose by 14. Maybe want to vomit. No, no money lost. Just one of those things where I was like, are you fucking kidding me? So, yeah, Clemson doesn't cover this week because I didn't fade them, and that system stays perfect. But they were up 28-0. I don't know if there's much you can even take from this game. I will ask your thoughts on it and get your mainly your thoughts on we'll skip ahead here because the next segment before we sign off, we'll get into the weekday games. One of the weekday games is on Friday is Clemson at Cuse. Clemson's laying 3 touchdowns, I believe. Did you take anything from this Clemson weight game? I'm assuming not. And do you see anything for this Friday up in Syracuse?
Now, the big news is Kelly Bryant's ankle. Apparently, he's going to play. Apparently, he's okay. Silas is questionable. He was in a boot after the game. Dabo says he's fine. Cuse has the ability to turn it up whenever they went with that offense, but this defense is something they've never seen before. Cuse played NC State and LSU really tight earlier this year. They were within one score from NC State, and they lost by 9 to LSU. So, when I went back and looked, Clemson hasn't blown many people out by more than 21 points, give or take the directional school there on the schedule. So I'm not fully invested in buying Cuse yet because they have – I think three defensive linemen that are all listed as questionable. And, you know, I need them guys healthy, especially if Kelly Bryant's hopping around hobbled. So I'm going to let it sit. I'm going to let the number bake, and I'm going to get more information on whether Syracuse has a healthy defensive line.
Fair enough. And moving on to other teams in the top five, so those teams that played at noon, two teams that continue to just roll, Penn State, and we mentioned this earlier, Georgia. And I think I would also throw in there Washington, UCF, Wisconsin. Auburn looked good again. These are teams in the top 25 that just have, looks like they're getting a lot of momentum. They're rolling the past couple of weeks. You take anything from any of those teams that I just mentioned?
Yeah, I did a lot from the Penn State game. I was watching that, and I just thought they couldn't get Barkley going. They couldn't get any running game going whatsoever against Northwestern. I mean, I know the score looks one way, but Penn State couldn't run the ball at all. They were held, I know, well under 100 yards rushing. And what saved them is the fact that Northwestern is so soft in the middle of the field at linebacker and with some of their safeties that McSorley could just go over the top for 12 yards. And that's how that was the bread and butter all day. And I'm telling you right now, that's not going to work against Ohio State. The way Ohio State is playing peak, and that they cannot get away. If Barkley's having a bad day and they're not able to rush the ball and get outside of those defensive ends for Ohio State, it's going to be a really long day for Penn State against Ohio State. So,
yeah. And one thing that I also will note in that game is that Northwestern had their two best players thrown out for targeting. One of them was the worst call I've ever seen, and the call stood. I don't know how. I mean, he barely touched his shoulder, but that was in the second half. Their one linebacker, that means he'll miss the first half of the next game. I'm not sure when the other one happened, but they're at Maryland. It's certainly something to watch. But you're right there. I mean, Barkley for a while had like no yards rushing. But yeah, if they don't fix that against Ohio State, it's going to be a long day for the Nittany Lions in a revenge spot for Ohio State. Gad, is there anything else in those group of teams that you took away?
No, the Georgia one, I took Vanderbilt in the CW9, and I stated specifically that they play great pass defense, and it's just going to be a ground game, and if they can keep it slow and chew clock, that the 18 was a good number. Yeah, well, I was right in the fact that it didn't become a passing game whatsoever because, Jacob from State Farm only had 128 yards in the air. But man, 7.8 yards per carry per rush on the ground. This Georgia team, I'll say this about this. Somebody tweeted me about, is Georgia in your top five of your power ratings? And I said, no, they're 13th. And this was like 2 weeks ago. I said, no, they're 13th. And, people are just going to fall too much in love. They're officially in the top five. They're number five right now. So Georgia's playing high football right now.
Yeah, they're a machine. I mean, their staple of backs are as good as any in the country. And, they just put it on Vanderbilt. How about two games? You mentioned one earlier. I don't know how that played out. I know that there was a late score. I'm sorry to bring back back up this nightmare, but you had the Miami Florida State game and LSU Florida. By the way, I had the LSU Florida under. I don't know who, where that resistance was coming from, because right before game time, it got steamed 4 points up to 46. And then I was watching the live line, and because I got a 42 and a half. I was watching the live line. No one was scoring the first half, and it wasn't coming down. There was so much resistance. And then eventually, I mean, there was only 33 points scored in the game, but that missed extra point, which ended up costing Florida the game or a shot at overtime. That saved me because, presumably if that goes to overtime at 34 with 34 points at 17 all, that's probably going over 42 and a half. But did you take anything from those two games?
No, I mean, it was power. LSU Florida was power rated that way. The closing number came down to, I think, one, I think. So I just, take it from the game that, it was power rated properly. It was capped properly, and it ended that way. Now this week, LSU's a 6.5, 7-point favorite at home to Auburn. So that, I can't even wrap my head around which way I'm going to go in that game, because I can't imagine. I don't want to back Coach O for the rest of the year. You're right about, Florida State was leading. They were handling Miami just fine, except for this Berrios kid. I don't know what was going on. They could not cover this one wide receiver for Miami. And Rozier hit him to end the game. The clock ran out, and he hit him in the end zone to win that game last second, and, kick the PAT and win by four, even though I had a three. So that was, I wasn't extremely impressed with Miami, to tell you the truth. I mean, they still have some holes that they got to fill defensively, and that offense is kind of a one-trick pony through one guy, especially with their star running back. He's now hurt. What's his name?
Walton.
Yeah, so this Miami team's different, in my opinion.
Yeah, Florida State really shut them down at the ground. I mean, they ran the ball 29 times for about 80 yards. And that was that's a brutal beat, man. And that kid for Miami, Berrios, had 8 catches for 90 yards and 2 touchdowns, Braxton Berrios, and eventually put it away. I will say that to some of what I did see from Florida State, some promising signs. I mean, obviously that defense is elite, but Blackman looks like he's getting more comfortable behind center. So I think he's going to continue to improve as he, gets more experience under center as the season goes on. But that was a really tough loss. And they look like the better team. I mean, they outgained him by 80, yep, 90 yards, and just one of those games that you're on the right side, but unfortunately don't get to the window. Any other top 25 games, or maybe off the radar non-25 matchups that caught your eye or you wanted to share anything from?
Nah, we covered Wazoo. We covered Stanford.
San Diego State running the table now? Were you more impressed with them than you thought?
Man, I UNLV's rush defense is so horrid, and Penny was just – every time Penny touched the ball, 9 yards. Penny touched the ball, 9 yards. And they brought in the backup, and every time he ran was for 7 yards. So – San Diego State's obviously going to win the West, and they're going to go on to, the mountain's wide open. So we'll see who they face, but, that's the end of the 30-1 UNLV future. So it was fun.
Yeah. It was a fun while it lasted. I guess the only other question I had from the top 25 is we both were on this game. We both expected Ohio State to roll. I know that last week on the podcast, you had mentioned they might cover 40.5, but did you take something from how comprehensive that victory was? Is it that the offense just continues to click?
Both sides of the ball and special teams are playing. They're all in sync now. Kevin Wilson was not in control of that offense when JT Barrett started against Indiana in week one. Kevin Wilson is in full control. He has JT Barrett in sync. He is in tune with every wide receiver, every step, every route. And the defense has always been, good. And the problem with that OU game wasn't really so much the defense. It was the fact the offense couldn't get anything going and constantly putting the defense back out on the field. But now that the offense is contributing, they're just shutting people down. And I already know what side I'm going to be on for the Penn State game.
What number do you think you're going to get?
I got my power ratings here right in front of me. So if I would say, I know it's at Ohio State, but on a neutral, it would be 2.5 in favor of Ohio State, so it's probably going to be 4.5, 5 range, probably maybe 4, 4.5.
Will you be on Buckeyes anything under a touchdown?
Anything under a touchdown, I'll be on the Buckeyes because, you know, I mean, there was a lesson learned out of that Iowa game. You know, it's the same thing. They couldn't get anything going on at Kinnick, and they had a last second, you know, had to have a last second play to win that game. And, you know, same thing. Northwestern was shutting down the running game. And only because Northwestern is soft over the middle, Penn State McSorley was able to find that and expose it. There's nothing to expose with this Ohio State team. And if I remember right, Penn State rolls into Ohio State after playing Michigan. So yep. say what you want about Michigan, but that defense is going to beat Penn State up, and then they're going to come into the horseshoe.
Yeah, the Michigan defense is not the problem. That'll be a really physical game. I mean, yeah, but Penn State goes home against Michigan. They have a bye this week, but they're home against Michigan, at Ohio State, and then they're at Michigan State, which now, I mean, that team's getting a lot better, and I'd be shocked if Penn State comes to those three games unblemished, but that'll be something to keep an eye on. Let's get into the final segment here before we sign off on the part one of week 7 Degen and Juice podcast. And that's, you know, we look at the weekday games on part two, which will be released on Thursday on the Sports Action app. Also on Audioboom, and we'll tweet it out. We'll go through Saturday's card with a microscope and really dive in deep on all of those matchups. But let's clear the weekday games. We did already cover Clemson at Cuse on Friday. There's three other games. One on Wednesday, your degenerate special, South Alabama at Troy. Troy laying 17. Do you see anything here?
Yeah, actually, this is one that I do kind of like. South Alabama, I've got this power rated as an 11. S&P Plus has a power rated as a 12. So the 17 is obviously inflated, and I think that came from South Bama's quarterback, Dallas Davis, possibly being out, but he was upgraded to probable. The line is going to start to trickle down off 17. So if you're listening to this, you see a 17 out there, you might want to go get it. The last four matchups between these two teams, a one-point game, a five-point game, a six-point game. So 17 would have covered a lot. And my final note on this game is Neil Brown was rolling with Troy last year, but they're now 1-6 against the spread in their last seven games. So I think the books have over-adjusted their power rating on Troy because teams have caught up to them.
Yeah, and this is after – I believe this is the first game after the Troy's victory over LSU. So I think they had a bye. So there still could be some letdown factor. They could be feeling themselves a little, and I think that's why this line might be inflated a little more. You know, as you said on the South Alabama side, but even on the Troy side, perception might be a little higher than it should be after that LSU win down there in Baton Rouge on their homecoming. So, yeah, it looks like South Alabama is definitely live on Wednesday. Thursday, Texas State, your boys at Laffy, playing, I believe, two touchdowns. I think it's creeped up to 14.5. You see anything here on Thursday?
Side note, you got to go to San Marcos in Texas, and every whiskey bottle has a worm in it, so... No, the Bobs, Texas State Bobs, the numbers should be 11. So, you know, I don't have a side on this game. I don't have a feel on this game. I've been trying to make things work with Texas State, but this game is on the road. Texas State's now 1-5, so they're officially, I think, pretty much knocked out of bowl season. They have nothing to play for, as to where ULL has everything to play for. But the number is inflated by a couple points. It's probably going to end up being a no play for me, especially seeing as how this is the night of the Eagles and the Panthers, which is actually a good Thursday night football game.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, I don't think you need to be in a rush to bet Texas State Laffy. We covered Clemson Cuse on Friday. The last weekday game is also features a road-ranked team in conference, and that is Wazoo at Cal. Does Cal have enough to – and Cal's catching 13 here. Does Cal have enough to maybe – pull off the shocker here, or at least stay in the number?
So this is the spot, right? So a couple weeks ago, USC goes into Wazoo on a short week on a Friday as a road fave, and it was a bad spot, and Wazoo won. Now Wazoo's the fave, except the number should be 18. The number's all the way down to
13, I think.
13, yeah. But Bet Online's got it down to 13, but this makes no sense to me. Cal has lost all of their wide receivers. I was just sitting here reading the injury report, and I just
Robertson, their star, he's been out. Yeah.
Demetrius Robertson, he's out. Marquise Stovall, he's out for the year, undisclosed. Kanawai Noah, he's questionable for this game. I'm not sure who's lining up to catch the ball for Cal in this game. So before you lay any Cal, you know, home Friday night money as a dog, make sure, you know, make sure and do your due diligence on the injury report.
Yeah, because I don't even see, I'm trying to look, Washington State, it looks like they had some linebackers that were hurt, like DeRider and Dotson. Were hurt last game, and it looks like they're both questionable. It looks like they also have a D lineman and a defensive back that are questionable. So Washington State does have some defensive injuries. But it's a bad, it's back end of a consecutive road games for Washington State at Cal. But yeah, it does look a little fishy, that number. So you can't get involved under two touchdowns with Cal then.
Yeah, I'm going to have to lay off, especially if the injury, if Cal's bread and butter is throwing the ball, I have to do more research into their advanced numbers and what they're doing through the air. And if that's how they've been making their living, getting so close to USC and covering against some of these teams, surprisingly, I can't take them against Washington State if they're if I have three wide receivers that are out.
Fair enough. We'll probably have some more on that game later in the week on part two of week 7's podcast. Thanks for joining me. As always, Colin, stay tuned for CW9 released on Friday each week, six pack on Saturday, and we'll get the second part of this week's podcast out on Sports Action app and Audio Boom and via Twitter on Thursday so that we can go through all the Saturday games with you guys before we get the action down. I look forward to this weekend. Hopefully we can have another profitable Saturday. Cheers.
So, laid back with my mind on my money and my money on my mind. Rolling down the street, smoking in love, sipping on gin and juice. Laid back with my mind on my money and my money on my mind. I got me some sequins gin. Everybody got their cups, but they ain't chipped in.